الحمد لله وكفى سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واتم الحج والعمره لله سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ and accomplish the Hajj and complete the Hajj and Umrah لِلَّهِ for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, you can translate this as that Hajj and Umrah should only be done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of you have done Hajj? Raise your hands high. Ki pehli martaba inhone haath uthaye hain. How many are there in the class who have done Hajj already? 1, 2, 3, 4. And how many of you have done Hajj for Allah? Because Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ You should do Hajj and Umrah only for the sake of Allah. How many of you have done Umrah? So most of the people have done Umrah. Okay. Now, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ And you should complete your Hajj and Umrah only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hajj and Umrah is a journey. Most people take a journey for Hajj. Except for the people living in Makkah Mukarramah. These are the people who don't have to make a trip to do Umrah. But generally most Muslims, they have to take a journey, make a trip. So generally when you do trips, you do it for various reasons. People go for business, right? They take journeys for business. People take journey for vacation, right? People take journeys for education. A lot of people in our country, they go outside of the country to get themselves educated, to get their degrees from outside. And this journey of Hajj and Umrah is a journey for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The basic purpose is to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy, right? So the purpose of sending this ayah, the reason behind this is that when you are going for Hajj and Umrah, your focus should be diverted from everything else and it should be focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you are focused towards Allah in this journey, the more you are making this journey fruitful and full of reward for yourself. So this is to turn your attention away from all the things of the world. That is why this ayah has come down. That when now when you have started this journey of Hajj and Umrah, then in this journey of Hajj and Umrah, your attention should be only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ And it should not be only done with focus towards Allah, it should be done in a devoted, in a deep love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sign of the mu'min is that he has love for Allah. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ Those who are mu'min, they have a deep love for Allah. They are very severe in their love for Allah. So the sign of the mu'min is that he loves Allah. And this trip is actually to increase that love of Allah. So that is why people take this trip. But the thing is that love demands expression. How does somebody know that somebody loves this other person? People who are married, they know that the wife says to the husband, that you should show me your love. Right? So in the same way, the concept of love is that love actually needs action, needs expression. And in this Hajj, we actually show, we express our love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we express this love? How do we express this love? Allah ta'ala has told us, okay, you're not going to wear these clothes, you're going to just wear two pieces of cloth. We accept that. We never ever wear these things at our home. But we do it. Why? Out of love. Then Allah ta'ala says that throughout the journey you're going to say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Oh Allah, I am answering to you. I am ready for you. So now when you're saying this, you're actually showing a deep love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an expression, this journey of Hajj and Umrah is an expression of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those people who love each other, they always demand expression. In the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also demands that you show this love towards Allah. In a hadith it comes that when somebody truly loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala creates an angel. And then Allah ta'ala tells that angel that this person has developed a love for me. You should go in the heavens and the earth and you should loudly announce that this person loves me and I love him. All the creatures in the heaven and the earth should also love this person. That is why you see people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have some magnetism. People are pulled towards them. Why do they have this magnetism? The amount of love that they have for Allah, the amount of magnetism Allah ta'ala places in them. And that is why people are attracted towards those people who have closer relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Hajj and Umrah is an expression of love. That is why people who go for Hajj, some of the people show deep love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is written in the books that Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah took a journey from Madinah Munawwara to Makkah Mukarramah. In those days the journey was 16 days. Now it is a 4-hour car ride, but at that time it was a 16-day trip. In 16 days, he finished the Quran 16 times during that trip. And just imagine sitting on the camel and trying to finish. Camel is a very difficult transportation, means of transportation. So a few years back, I had the opportunity to go to Makkah Mukarramah for Umrah. And my parents were also with me. So we said, okay, we'll go to the Arafat and we'll just see how this Jabal Rahmah is. So we went there. So because this was not Hajj days, it was just, you know, regular days. So there were camel, you know, people with camels sitting outside. And they were actually transporting people all the way up to the Jabal Rahmah. So I thought to myself, I never sat on the camel. And sitting on the camel is also a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So why should I not sit right now? So I sat on the camel and he started taking me upstairs, you know, towards the Jabal al-Rahmah. It's a small hill, but I felt as if I'm going to fall. So while going up, I controlled myself and I started, you know, I actually started making du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was a place of making du'a, but I was making du'as for the other reason that, oh Allah, save me from falling down. So now, why coming back? It was so dangerous and it was so hurting actually, sitting on this camel. And they had tried to make it very comfortable actually. There was a thing on your back and there was a thing on your front and there was, you know, things underneath you. But even after that, it was so uncomfortable. While coming down in the middle of the hill, I told him, stop. And I said, I'm going to come down and I'm going to walk downstairs. I cannot sit on the camel. This camel ride is so difficult. And just imagine riding on the camel for 16 days and then reciting the Quran 16 times in 16 days. That means this journey of Hajj was done with the deep love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim ibn Adham rahimahullah is one of the very biggest shaykhs of the history of Islam. He used to live in the area of Adham. And he took this journey of Hajj from his place all the way to Makkah Mukarramah. And he took it on foot. He walked to the Makkah Mukarramah. And it is written in the books that after every few steps he would take, he would stop and he would pray 2 rakat nafal. This is what he would do. So this journey on foot from his house to Makkah Mukarramah took him 2.5 years. So just imagine how much love he was showing in this journey of Hajj. And when he came to the house of Allah, when he came to the Baytullah, the first dua that he made was that, "Oh Allah, the way you should have been worshipped, I was not able to worship." So this is an expression of love. This trip towards Makkah, this trip towards Hajj and Umrah is a trip of expression of love. A few years ago, a man was interviewed because people saw that he's doing a lot of tawaf. So people interviewed him that, "Who are you?" He was a man from Yemen and he was 70 years old. So the interviewer asked him, "How many tawafs do you do on your trip of Umrah?" He says, "I do 70 tawafs every day." 70 tawaf means 490 circles. And 70 tawaf also means 140 nawafil. And he said, I do it every day. And he was interviewed by people. So people show so much love in this trip towards Hajj and Umrah. So the trip of Hajj and Umrah is a trip of love. But the Prophet ﷺ has said that time would come that the rich of my ummah will go for Hajj and Umrah so that they can go for vacation. And the poor of my ummah in that time will go for Hajj and Umrah so that they can go and collect charity. And the ulama, the scholars of my ummah will go there so that they can show pride in how many times they have visited that place. So a time will come like this. So the Hajj and Umrah will not become a journey of love of Allah. It will become a journey for the love of this world. So that is why Allah Ta'ala mentions it very clearly that Hajj and Umrah has no other meaning other than the expression of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how the Hajj should be done. So that is why the scholars say that Hajj should be done in a group in which there are scholars and pious people. So that they keep you on this track of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of detracking into other things. And sometimes, you know, people just detrack into, because there's so many malls and so many shopping centers and whatnot. Sometimes people get entangled in these things. Sometimes people get entangled in fights. Sometimes people get entangled in food and all these other things. These things are okay. These things are fine. I mean, these things can be done. But the mindset should always be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing about this ayah is that it is a show of love of Allah, going for Hajj and Umrah. The second thing is Allah Ta'ala has also made it mandatory upon all the Muhrims that they should recite the Talbiyah. What is the Talbiyah, Fahad? Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. What is the translation of Labbaik Allah? Hazin, I am available for you, whatever you want. Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. So this talbiyah is also a sign of love. Again, you see. But this is not a sign of a normal love. In this world that we live in, if a boy falls in love with a girl, he's not going to shout out the name of that girl because he's afraid that he can get in trouble, right? But when somebody is closely in love with somebody, then he starts screaming out the name, right? When he does not think of anything, does not think of himself, that's when he's deeply in love with somebody, that's when he starts shouting the name of the one that he loves. So this talbiyah is actually that type of love, that one shouts the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is said in the hadith that Allah loves people who call out the talbiyah. Allah Ta'ala says that when somebody, there are three voices, when these voices are said out aloud, then the whole community is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three voices. When these three voices, when they come out, and when these three voices are loud, then the whole community around these voices are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are those three voices? The first is when the azan is called in an area. When the azan is called in the masjid, the whole community is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such is the Allahu Akbar, Allah. Such is the love of Allah for this azan, this call of prayers. That is why it is incumbent upon Muslims that in their communities, in their housing schemes, societies that they live, there should be a masjid where people call out azan in that masjid. So three voices Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. When these voices are raised, the whole community is forgiven. One is the azan that is called out in the masjid. And the second is when the mujahid calls out Allahu Akbar when he's fighting with the non-Muslims. And the third is when the haji calls out Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. So the Prophet ﷺ went for Hajj with the Sahaba, and the Prophet ﷺ told them that you should recite the Talbiya, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. And the Sahaba Ikram, they would recite the Talbiya, and the Prophet ﷺ called all of them and gathered them and made an announcement to them. And they were very, very conscious that the Prophet ﷺ is now about to make an announcement. What was that announcement? The Prophet ﷺ said that the angel Jibreel descended. And he said that, O Prophet of Allah, your Sahaba, your companions are reciting this Talbiyah, this Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this Labbaik, and Allah has ordered that you tell your companions that they should read this Talbiyah loudly because Allah loves this Talbiyah so much. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the Sahaba that you should recite it more and more, and you should recite it loudly. So the Sahaba used to say that we would recite the Talbiyah so much that our mouths would get dry. This is how much Talbiyah we would recite, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this Talbiyah. So this whole journey is a journey for the sake of Allah, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, not only that we have been asked to show our love and to turn our attention towards Allah, situation is also made like this. The first thing is that whoever enters the miqat, and what is the miqat? Miqat is a circle around the city of Makkah. So maybe the miqat that we enter from is 60 miles from Makkah Mukarramah, right? So there is a circle around the area of Makkah which is called miqat. About 50-60 miles of radius around Makkah. And what has been ordained, the Sharia tells us that whoever enters this miqat should be in a state of ihram. So nobody is outside of the state of ihram. Whoever is entering it is in the state of ihram. And what are the injunctions of the ihram? That when you are in a ihram, Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا رَفَسَ, no sex, وَلَا فُسُوقَ, and no disobedience of Allah, وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِ, and no infighting in the state of ihram. So muhrim cannot do these things. Why? Because he has to turn his attention towards Allah. So maybe some people who are entering are muhrims and some people are not. Allah Ta'ala says no. Everyone who's entering, all of them should be in a state of ihram. So that all of them should be turning towards his attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about non-Muslims? Non-Muslims cannot enter Makkah and Medina. So the situation is made in such a way that your attention should be turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has been made easy for you to turn your attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth thing, an important thing about this journey of Hajj, and this journey of Hajj is the journey of dua. The person who is in a state of ihram, Allah's mercy descends on him. And the du'as that he's making, those du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person in a state of ihram is very beloved person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a very, very big opportunity to be in a state of ihram. But sometimes what happens is that you're in a state of ihram, but your attention is not towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this very golden opportunity that you're getting to make du'as, you lose that opportunity. Sometimes you're entangled in the, you know, in arranging food. Sometimes you're entangled in arranging hotel room. Sometimes you're entangled in, you know, getting the airlines things straightened out, the transportation set, and the mind, the reason for all this trip is actually lost. is such a golden opportunity. That time of Hajj and Umrah is a time for the acceptance of du'as. So only that person is going to make lots of du'as, the one who has the habit of making du'as actually. That is why the Prophet ﷺ says that on whom the door of du'as are open, the doors of Allah's mercy is also open on that person. So the person who has a habit of making du'as, he will be ready to make du'as in this state as well. So that is why going for Hajj and Umrah takes some, it takes preparation. It takes an outward preparation, but there is a spiritual preparation to it as well. So that is why this trip should be taken in the company of scholars and mashayikh, so that your attention is focused towards this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who always asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who is always making du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person is a wali of Allah. And the last thing, that the du'as should be made, but again the du'as should be made. Sometimes you say that this trip is for du'as. So you're making du'as, but the mind is not focused towards the du'a. The amount of humility that is required is not there. So you're not making the du'a, is being made by the mouth, by the tongue. It is not made by the heart. The heart should be present in that state of ihram. That is why Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. Completely devoted towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there was this blind man sitting in the haram, right? And he was making dua to Allah, "Oh Allah, please return me my eyesight." And this was the time of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. Hajjaj was a very big tyrant actually. And he killed a lot of Sahaba. So he was a very tyrant king actually. And he entered the Baytullah, he entered the Haram, and he saw this blind man sitting and making dua and not turning his attention towards Allah. He was sitting and because he was sitting in the Haram, he was making this dua, "Oh Allah, give me my eyesight back," and this and that. And he was not very, his dua did not have this force. So Hajjaj came and Hajjaj actually struck him with his leg. And he said, "Who is this?" He said, "Do you know who I am?" And the blind man says, "No, I don't know who you are." He said, "I am Hajjaj." He said, "Oh my Lord, are you Hajjaj?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I am seeing that you are making dua and you are not attentive towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can it be that you are making dua in haram and the dua is not being accepted?" The reason is that you are not making dua the correct way. "So now I am going to make tawaf. And by the time I finish my tawaf, your eyesight should be back. If your eyesight is not back, then I am going to get you killed." And this blind man also knew that Hajjaj is such a tyrant, he is going to get me killed. So this blind man, now when he started his tawaf, the king, when he started his tawaf, now the blind man knew that I only have a very little time left. If my eyesight does not return, this man is going to kill me. So now he started making dua with a lot of humility and with tears in the eyes and with all the respect that he can show. And he was making dua with such concentration and such attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is written in the books that before he finished his tawaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him his eyesight back. So that means the duas that are accepted should be made with attention and humility. So this is a journey of duas. This is what you have to do throughout the journey. Last point is that the man who is called to the house of Allah, Allah has called him to forgive his sins. All sins are forgiven except for one sin, and that is other people's right. If you have taken other people's money, if you have to return loans, if you've done something wrong to other people, then that does not mean that now all of that is forgiven. If you have taken loans, then that it does not mean that when you go for Hajj and Umrah, the loans are forgiven. No, you have to still fulfill the rights of the people. So there was this man, a Pakistani man who used to live in Saudi Arabia. And because he used to live in Saudi and he used to work there, he performed Hajj 13 straight years. Every year he used to perform Hajj. For 13 years he performed Hajj. After his 13th Hajj, he saw in the Haram, near the house of Allah, a very pious man sitting there. So this man walked up to this man, this pious man, and he said to him that you look like a scholar and you look like a very big sheikh. I just want to tell you something. So the sheikh asked, what? He said, I have been doing Hajj 13 years straight in a row. But for 13 years straight in a row, after Hajj is done, after a few days, in my dream, I listened to a voice saying that, oh, such and such person, your Hajj is not accepted in the eyes of Allah. So when this happened, I wake up and I cry that my Hajj is not accepted in the eyes of Allah. So the Shaykh, he listened to what he had to say, and then after a little while, he said, okay, tell me, do you have parents who are alive? He said, yes. He said, do you ever see them? He said, for the last 13 years, I haven't seen my parents. I am the only child, and I left them, I came here. And for 13 years, I haven't asked of them. And I've never ever sent any money to them. I've never taken care of them for the last 13 years. So the Shaykh said that you're not fulfilling the rights, and that is why your Hajj is not accepted in the eyes of Allah. So even if you do 100 Hajj, not a single one of them will be accepted. So the first thing first you have to go to your parents and you have to ask for forgiveness. When the parents are going to forgive, then this problem is going to solve. So he started crying and he started, you know, saying bad things to himself, and he made this decision that he is going to come back to Pakistan and ask for forgiveness from his parents. So he came to his village where his parents used to live, and it was changed. So he asked about his parents to somebody, and that person said, yes, there was this man and he had parents and they were old people, and their son left them, and what a bad person that son was, that he never looked back after leaving as to what happened to his parents. But the father has died and the mother has gone blind. So he said, okay, where do they live? He didn't say that I am that child. He said he lives across the street, and he showed the house. So now he was thinking that my mother is alive and she's blind and my father has died. So that means that my mother will be very upset at looking at me. And how am I going to ask her for forgiveness? So he was very, very shameful. And he was doing a lot of istighfar, and he was doing a lot of tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I have done very wrong. So he went to his house and he was about to knock, but he saw that the door is open. So he entered. And he saw that there was a small, there was a bed on which the mother was lying down, and she was blind. But she had her hands raised in the air and she was making dua that, oh Allah, my husband has died and my eyes are gone, and oh Allah, the only thing that I ask of you is that you send me back my son. So when he heard this dua, tears started flowing out of his eyes. And he went up to his mother and he told the mother that I am your son who has not taken care of you. Please forgive me. The mother not only forgave him, but the mother said that I cannot see you. Please come close to me so I can hold you. And the mother forgave him. And he stayed there with his mother. After a few days, the mother also died. Now he went back, and after a few months it was time for Hajj. And he performed the Hajj 14th year straight in a row. And he says himself that after that 14th Hajj, a few days later, again in my dreams, I heard this voice saying that, oh such and such person, your Hajj is accepted by Allah, and your last 13 Hajj are also accepted by Allah. So when you go for Hajj, all the sins are forgiven. But the rights of other people are not forgiven. Those rights have to be fulfilled. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to perform this Hajj solely for the love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I'll do the translation of this ayah one more time. Wa atimul hajj wal umrata lillah, and complete the Hajj and Umrah for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah.